This is Revolutionizing Recruitment with Kathleen Duffy, the arts of attracting, acquiring, and retaining talent. Here's Kathleen.
My guest this week is JT O'Donnell, the founder and CEO of Workaday, an online platform dedicated to helping people solve their biggest career problems. JT has decades of experience in HR recruiting and career coaching and helps workers of all ages find greater professional satisfaction. JT, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Kathleen. Great to be here.
You know, I'd like to kick off our conversation having you clarify something. As a recruiter, I get calls from folks all the time whose positions have been eliminated and they're considering a severance package that includes outplacement. And in my opinion, career coaching and outplacement are two very, very different things. But I'd love to hear how you differentiate career coaching from outplacement support.
So I think with outplacement support, because it's being paid by the employer, the goal is to see that person redeployed on assignment working again as quickly as possible. It doesn't really lend itself to that soul searching and reflectiveness that can help somebody make a more informed decision about where they should move next in their career. Career coaching is helping you understand your unique needs and wants, your strengths, your preferences, how you like to create value on the job, and then packaging that all up and finding an opportunity that best suits you. Outplacement just isn't built to support that. You know, it's about getting your resume slapped together and your LinkedIn profile good and having you talk to people as soon as possible. And I think part of the problem with a lot of the outplacement services that are out there is, like many things, it hasn't updated with the times. Mm-hmm. It hasn't realized that people aren't employees anymore. They're businesses of one. They're service providers. And that service provider has lost its primary source of income, its primary client. So it wants to find a new client, aka new employer, as quickly as possible, but they want it to be the right thing because they don't want to have to repeatedly go through this process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just wish more outplacement firms would take that holistic approach, that career coaching approach first with them, because there is a way to do that efficiently. It doesn't take months to do, but it's important in order for that person to get their confidence back, their clarity, and be able to move forward and land a job. And I think that's why, honestly, I have people every single day joining Workaday who have finished their outplacement after being let go and had zero interviews, confidence lost, don't know what they did wrong. And within 2 months of working with us, they've got multiple job offers. And that's because we don't dive into resume and LinkedIn first. We dive into them first. And that's really the difference.
And that's, again, I get these people all the time and they think, you know, they get their resume slapped together and then they're going to go to a recruiter and then a recruiter is going to go find them that job. And we don't necessarily do that, but it really is about being able to tell their story. And I also think that, you know, so many times people have been beat up and are really mourning the loss of that position. And there's a lot of that self-discovery that has to go through so that whatever they're struggling with doesn't come across in that interview as well.
100%. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. People will come in and you're assessing them and you're thinking, I can't put them in front of a client right now. They're not going to do well. And one thing that we teach them is that until you make peace with what's happened, and this is the career story in your head, and let's face it, we all have one, and it's a major motion picture. It's an epic novel in our head with lots of drama, twists and turns. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sense of that and get it to a place that we can talk about it and articulate it that doesn't make us nervous, uncomfortable, and scared, because that gets read through your body language, your facial expressions. We can tell when you're not believing your own career story or when you're not excited or proud about it. So you hit the nail on the head. That has to be addressed first. That person has to get to a place of peace with it. I especially love working with people who get fired because they come to us really reeling. You know, layoff is one thing, but usually lots of other people got laid off with you, right? So you're still concerned about what happened to me. Why was I let go? But fired is you did something wrong. And that deeply shakes confidence. And I love working with those people and getting them to a place where they are ready to go into an interview and are waiting for them to ask the question, why'd you leave your last job? Because when you're ready, when you're chomping at the bit to answer that question, something funny happens, which is a lot of times they don't ask or you give the answer and that's it. They move on because it's very clear you're at peace with it and you're telling something accurate. And I'll just end by saying, you know, we in the business, you and I know, there's three sides to every story. Mm-hmm. Theirs, yours, and the truth. And the closer you can get to telling to a story that's balanced and objective and, you know, can look at both sides of the situation, that's what we're looking for, and that's what they need to get to.
Yeah, amen. So I want to step back to when you left your corporate job in recruiting and HR to become a career coach, and tell us a little bit about that journey.
You know, it's funny. I was working for a staffing company. I was a VP of a very large division, and I only tell this story because I wasn't living my own, you know, career truth. I was working crazy hours. I still remember finding the sticky from my assistant on my desk that said, "Your mom called. It's pretty urgent," and it was like a week old. So completely out of touch. I can own that. I can own that now. And, you know, I was on maternity leave and found out our company was acquired. And I remember looking at my husband and going, yes, I'm going to get laid off. I'm going to get a severance package and I'm going to figure out what I'm doing next. And instead, they asked me to come in just for a visit a couple days before I was to return to find out they were laying off the other managers and they were keeping me on and they wanted me to merge the two divisions together. Now, when does that happen? What, you know? So
every
I went
time
home,
you don't want it to.
Right. I went home and looked at him and said, I can't do this. And he said, then don't, you know, go figure it out. So when I left was when I realized, boy, there's just a huge unmet need out there for myself and everyone else. How do you get this far along in your career and realize you need a shift? I mean, there has to be a better way to do this. And that's what led me on the journey to becoming a career coach and opening up my shingle and, you know, building a practice. And I wrote a book and got a syndicated column. And fast forward to 2008 and the recession hits. Mm-hmm. And I don't have free time again. I have so many clients. Then I sat down and said, what can I do to scale this? How do I get this information out? And that was the birth of Workaday. That's when I said, you know, I'm going to start a blog where people can comment and we can comment back. And we'll just try to drive this career conversation at scale. Get people looking at this differently. It's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery, but it wasn't taught in school. So I'm going to figure out a way to do that. And that was the journey. That was the mission. And it's, you know, 20 years in 2021 since I left. It was my 20-year anniversary last year. And I couldn't be happier because I am definitely, you know, they say you have a job, a career, or a calling. I definitely think it's my calling. But it's exciting. It's exciting every day to level the playing field for people and to teach them these skills and see them just blossom and realize they have more control over their career than they thought. So I'm happy I made the switch for sure.
So you're 20 years old. I'm 30 years old. So
there we go. Exactly.
I feel it. So sometimes people think this sounds so, you know, it was so easy for you, JT. But, you know, I know it wasn't. So what advice do you have for other people who might be contemplating a similar career change?
Yeah. It is not easy. And I thank you for saying that because I think, you know, we celebrate the successes more than we focus on the failures because that's what you need to do. A true test if you're in the right place is even after a bad day, you get up and say, but no, I got to keep going. And for me, that's always been the mission. So when I am teaching people how to do this, I say, look, you have to find a problem bigger than yourself that you want to be a part of solving. And then you have to look at your unique skill sets and how you create value and how you could lend those to that process. And once you figure that out, it starts to take care of itself. And it's, you know, the name of the company is Workaday for a reason. You have to put time aside every day to work at it, not hours and hours. But it has to be intentional. There has to be a desire to say, I want to elevate my career game and I want to find that level of satisfaction and, you know, ownership that's going to make me feel empowered, right? And so there is a lot of work to it. There's plenty of bad days and I can tell you a million stories for sure. Mm-hmm. But you forget them as you start to see those wins, you know, and that's really the key. So I tell people, make the commitment, make the decision. You know, a great test is this. What you're doing right now today, exactly the way it is, would you be okay if that's all you did and what you had to do for the next 20 years? And if the answer is yes, fabulous. But if the answer is no and you start to feel panic in your heart, then you need to start looking at this and figuring out, okay, what's my next move? How can I feel more fulfilled? What's missing? And use resources, self-discovery resources, assessment tools, career coaching tools that help you start to figure that out. Because you don't piece, it's not one big aha moment and it's solved. It's lots of mini aha moments and movements that bring you to that place. So you've got to work it daily and you've got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, my husband was a graphic designer for a corporation for many years. And the best advice that he got as he was contemplating whether or not he should leave and go do his own thing was to take that decision and move it away from your head and put it into your stomach. And he did that, and he called me a couple hours later telling me he had resigned. But it's, wow, it was the greatest thing he ever did. So I think you're right. I think it is a feeling type of a decision that you have to make, which I think can be not so easy for the way some people are wired.
100%. I love that he was given that advice, by the way, and that he was brave enough. And I say that, brave enough to resign and say, I've got to put myself in an uncomfortable place to figure it out. I mean, that, I get that. It's easy for us to sit here and say to do it, but it's a whole nother thing for somebody to step up, and that should be applauded.
Yeah, yeah. And he's still doing his own thing, so that's good. So let's talk about back to work at Daily and your mission. And I thought it was interesting how you said that, you know, as the recession hit, that you needed to figure out how do you drive this conversation to scale. And I know your mission is to help more than 1 million people achieve their career goals across the world while disrupting the career coaching industry. Let's talk about that disruption and some of the things that you did differently in this space.
It took the first 7 years as a career coach to figure out what was wrong with the industry. My frustration was my clients' frustration. So, you know, the traditional model is I charge you an hourly rate. We set a time. We meet up. We have a long conversation. I send you off with some homework. And then we don't talk again until it's time for you to pay me and meet up with me again. Now, I couldn't let that happen because obviously people would walk away and they would have questions and they would want to email you and they would want clarification. And they would want check-ins, and they would want 2 minutes of your time here and 15 minutes of your time there. And so I very quickly got away from that model because it just didn't seem right to take several hundred dollars of a person's money and then not talk to them for another month. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is in the career coaching world, the business model and what they push you to do when I graduated from the program that I did was start to raise your rates as quickly as possible. And work with executives because executives are high performers. And the more somebody spends on something, the more likely they are to do what you tell them to do. And you know what? That's true. That's 100% true. I could have very easily gone that route. But as you can imagine, being a bit of a contrarian, that bothered me. That was not the purpose of becoming a career coach. The purpose was to level the playing field and help a lot of people. So when I looked at the model, I said, people don't need an hour of my time. They need a couple minutes of my time. But they need that time when they're actually working on it, when they're in that moment, so that they don't give up and they don't put it on the back burner. They don't say, I'll deal with it next month. So that was the idea, was what could we do to create resources? And the first thing that came out of it was what I call pre-coaching. And pre-coaching is video training and tutorials that help you understand basic concepts that you can either spend hundreds of dollars an hour for me to tell you over a phone or over a Zoom call or in person. Or you can watch a quick video, have your aha moment, and then when we actually do talk, we can get to the good stuff. So I started building a repository of videos and articles and courses and whatever every time I got asked the same question more than 3 times from a client. And very quickly, we had this arsenal, repository, whatever you want to call it, of these answers. And we thought, well, gee, if we could give everybody these answers and have them navigate that process, then when they actually do need us, they could message us. And instead of having to be on a phone call, which, you know, getting all dolled up to be on a call and see somebody face to face, if they could just message us in a private messaging app and know that we're going to get back to them, then again, they can work on it in their time. So we built the model and you know, a lot of people said it won't work. It's going to be very costly. You're going to need thousands of career coaches. It's going to be a nightmare, blah, blah. You know, we heard it all. And so nobody obviously followed the model. We privately funded it. And lo and behold, it worked. And people loved it. And they started getting jobs and they started becoming fans and followers and advocates. So that's what's led us down that journey to where we are today, is building this community of people who want to empower themselves, who want autonomy, right? And know that with a little guidance, with the right resources, the right pre-coaching, and access to, you know, trained experts when they need it, they can make this happen for themselves. And if you build it that way and you leverage technology, guess what? It doesn't have to be expensive. Which was the other thing. Mm. People don't have a lot of discretionary income. Executives do. And a lot of times their company will pay the $1,000 a month for them to be career coached. Mm-hmm. But most of us, you know, out in the world don't have all this extra free income. And when we do, probably the last thing we feel like spending it on is an expensive career coaching program. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'd like to spend it on something else. So if you can make career coaching effective but affordable, keep money in people's pockets, guess what? I think they become loyal, raving fans of the service. And that's what's happened. And I feel so lucky because I can say that now. But obviously, there's an unbelievable team of people at Work at Daily. My coworkers are as passionate about this, which is impossible to believe because usually only a founder is that passionate, but they care deeply about creating this. And that's why we're able to do it. And I just feel so lucky that, you know, we didn't listen to people and we made it happen.
Well, and I think the passion comes from you that grows on your team as well. So I think it's interesting about being effective and affordable. So do you, and the comparison of working with everyday workers as opposed to executives, what, if you could kind of bucket people, what percentage of your clients are, you know, in the, maybe the entry level to manager level type of roles versus executive level roles?
80%. 80% are 25 to 55, anywhere from hourly worker, management, you know, working their way up. Only 20% are executives. And we have a separate program for executives. With executives, we focus on their presence and on building their reputation and managing authentic reputations online because that's what we can help them with. But with the professionals, the 80% of the professionals in the program, it's about really instilling that confidence in them, helping them have those aha moments, getting that, closing that gap in knowledge, which, again, they weren't taught in school. And a lot of times the default is to do what mom and dad did or my siblings did or what my friends tell me to do. And none of them are trained experts. So a lot of people are getting bad advice out there. Mm-hmm. And so we want to stop that. We want them to come to the right source and have a safe, private place to go to talk about that. Because the other thing is that a lot of people are trying to figure it out and the people around them don't necessarily want them to make that career change or aren't very supportive of what they're doing. So we needed an environment that wasn't just coaching, but it was community. So they had a place to go to say, you know, I'm getting pushback. But, you know, here, I'm going to come here and I'm going to keep telling you my story and I'm going to make it happen for myself. And that's another big reason I think people don't make career changes and find greater happiness because of that fear. You know, there's four words when strung together create so much anxiety in people. What do you do? We've created a culture where everyone feels obliged to answer that question to impress other people when the reality is the only person you should impress with that answer is yourself. You're the one that's to live with it. But until we teach people that and give them a safe place to embrace that, they're going to continue to default to feeling the pressure to impress other people and, you know, choose career paths that aren't really fulfilling. So, you know, for me, it's about creating a workplace revolution. It's creating that environment. If we can help a million people, they'll help the next million and the next million, and we can really affect some change.
Well, and I can imagine that just by building your community, all I can envision is that anybody that is now in the program can reach out to that community and those people are going to say, yeah, we want to learn more about your background and see if you're a fit for our organization.
It is. And it's so interesting. You know, we have to thank LinkedIn for creating a professional social media platform. You know, without it, where would a lot of us be? I know it's very important for me. It's a platform for me. But at the same time, it's not for everyone. And people are looking for that alternative. There are millions upon millions of people that are not comfortable on LinkedIn and never will be comfortable on LinkedIn because they don't feel they have the career to fill out a profile that makes them feel proud. So as it continues to evolve, I think it'll become more and more of an executive platform and a higher end professional platform. But there is not that place, as you mentioned, where people who are far more insecure about their career, where they can go and feel supported and feel understood and not feel that pressure. And that's exactly what we built. And what's been interesting over the pandemic has been more of the realization that they're out there and that we're connecting with them. We launched TikTok, both a corporate account for TikTok and a personal account for TikTok, and both of them blew up. And all we were doing was giving it, you know, like we always do, giving the content straight. But it's an entirely different demographic of people than we've ever reached on LinkedIn. And that's been wonderful to be able to help them with the littlest of things that you and I take for granted that we know how to do in our career. The littlest things that we're teaching people on TikTok that are making huge impact. And they're the most appreciative audience. They come in and they share every little success they've had with your help. They come back and they thank you. And then, you know, we pull them into the community and then they really blossom because it's private. It's not out on social media for other people to see. It's inside a private community where everybody respects you and is trying to support you.
So did you ever think that you would be this big social media influencer?
No. You know, it's so funny. I fell in love with TikTok. It took me about a month to understand it and play with it. And it took me another 3 months before I felt like, okay, I've got a strategy here of what I want to do with it. And I just happen to love music and I love to throw the occasional, you know, dance jam in there. But I don't, you know, all my executives that I coach that I now have lots of executives that I've coached on TikTok and none of them dance. but what it does is it allows you to educate people in such a fun and refreshing and personalized way. And I love that. I absolutely love it. Did I ever think I would have over a million followers on TikTok in a year? Absolutely not. Absolutely, you know, that because it's a new platform, and that tends to be like with YouTube early adopters. You're young, hip, it's creative, it's funny, it's entertaining, just like we see on TikTok. But I will tell you very quickly, TikTok is becoming edutalk. They absolutely are going the way of YouTube. YouTube's the number one place to go put in how to do and insert whatever there, right? It's what where people go. TikTok is headed that way and fast, and they recognize that and they're building for that. And that's why I say to people, you don't need a million followers, but it is an absolutely unbelievable platform to build your voice. Because if you can get on and talk about something for 60 seconds and be articulate, talk about depth of knowledge, talk about gravitas. You must know yourself if you can do that. And if you can do that 60 times, right? So one time a day, 5 days a week, you know, over that time, you've now created 60 minutes worth of content for somebody to just fall into the rabbit hole and consume minute after minute after minute. And that's what's been most amazing in the one, it's over a year now that I've been on TikTok, the connection that I have with that audience and their conversion to coming over and being part of the community has been infinitely faster than on LinkedIn, which I've been in since they invited me to be an influencer many years ago. And it's because of the way that we're able to engage with that audience and they get to know me, I get to help them, we build that trust and respect. So yeah, I'm so grateful. I truly love that audience. I love all audiences on social media because I love helping them. But that one in particular has been just a real joy.
Well, I know you have two young daughters. I think one is in high school and the other is in college, right? So what do they think about your TikTok fame?
It's really funny. They love telling people that their mom has a million followers, and they do it very casually in conversation, which I find hilarious. And so now I will go places and meet their friends. And, you know, you're the one on TikTok, and, you know, occasionally they want tips. It's pretty funny. So I guess they're okay with it. You know, they're certainly not embarrassed by it. I think if I was famous for anything other than providing career advice that helps people, that might be a problem with them. Like they're teenage girls, right? They think they would be embarrassed by their mom. But so far they seem to be pretty proud. So I'm happy about that.
Well, that's our job, is to embarrass our children.
Exactly.
Okay, I hate to do this, but we have to take a break. Coming up in the second part of my conversation with JT O'Donnell, the founder and CEO of Workit Daily, JT talks about why employers need to become better at listening.
Pay attention. Just because that employee's head's down over there doesn't mean they're happy. Mm-hmm. You know, you really want to pay attention. If you want to stop the churn, you are going to have to change this and figure out how your employees, make sure your employees are feeling more satisfied in their lives overall and that work's fitting into that.
This has been Revolutionizing Recruitment with Kathleen Duffy. To connect with Kathleen or to learn more about recruitment research, go to duffygroup.com.